you give me that? How many of you give me 13 minutes? Let me see your hand. You're afraid to put your hand up, aren't you? How many of you give me 15 minutes? Wow. How many of you give me 20 minutes? How many of you give me a half an hour? Well, the more hands go up, the longer I take. I like that. How many of you give me an hour? Wow. Man, Rufus, you and I are in business today. Let's pray. Father, thank you today again for your grace in this house. What a beautiful, hard and moment that we stand together, believing you for something so beautiful today, God. And I just pray that you'll continue to be honored, you'll continue to be glorified in all that's done here, God. Thank you for this people. God, thank you for families that are here today. Bless their lives greatly in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. I sure love each and every one of you. I appreciate you so much, and you're just so beautiful. If you have your Bible, if you would, open it up to Psalm 68, verse, I'm going to read out of verse 5 and 6. I want to talk to you this morning about growing a great family. I talked a couple weeks ago about moments matter and how just small moments in your life really have the propensity to change the trajectory of what your life becomes. And last week I talked about more than just surviving. Sometimes people just survive in life. When you say, hey, how you doing to somebody? I'm surviving. I want to do more than just survive. I want to go forward. I want to see great things happen. I want to accomplish great things for him. And a lot of times that when we're just surviving, it's because of some things in our life, like unchecked habits, by just doing the things that we've always done. How many of you know if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got? And so we got to change that unhealthy perspective. We look through a tinted lens in our own life because of what has happened in our life, and then we have unrealistic expectations. We live with this conscious belief that everybody should think and do and act the way we do. And although that's not always the way it is, we have to move on from that sometimes if we're going to do more than survive. Which brings me up today of, and I want to talk about this, growing a great family. Because great families, they just don't happen. And it's few mornings that we wake up anymore that we don't hear something on the news of a family, of an individual who is going through something. Or we heard just this week a former Speaker of the House making payments to keep somebody quiet for something that happened in their family years ago. Family, to have great families, they just don't happen. They're a deliberate, distinctive decision that you have to make every single day. Whether you're, and that goes for not only husbands and wives with children, that goes for single people. That goes for men and women. You may be single. That goes for teenagers, whatever age. That depends on the decisions that you make today. And if you're going to grow a great family, you're going to have to make some great decisions. You're going to have to sow some great seeds into your life. We live in a life where there's divorce, abuse, brokenness, and we exist in this time, and strong families are being strained at best. And this is, again, this is for everyone. And if you're here today and you've gone through something in your life, you've gone through a brokenness, your life is not over. The beautiful thing about God is that he'll give you a new beginning every day. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. How many of you are happy about that today? Your life is not over, and we have to believe God that he will do something great. And our family, the core of our family depends greatly on how our society succeeds. Now listen to me just a moment, and this is very controversial in our culture, even within the churches, when churches are really breaking apart and denominations are coming unglued because of the pattern that some are adhering to because of what our culture is dictating. And I know this is very sensitive. Let me say this first. God does not hate gay people, but God has come not only to give his life for you and I, for the heterosexual, he's also come to give his life for the gay person and to tell them, and we need to be voices. The pulpit does not need to be satiated with people that are just yes men or women. It needs to be full of people that will bring the truth of God's word, no matter if it hurts or not. It doesn't change. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I'm not here. You'll never see me with a holding a picket sign. You'll never see me. I'll never talk down to somebody because of their decision, but I will. If somebody asks me, always speak the truth, because the truth is the only thing that sets people free. And for men and women who get into the pulpit on Sundays and do anything other than that, they are putting chains back on the very humanity that God has anointed them to come and preach the gospel and see people get set free and saved. Amen. I asked the Lord, I said, God, I want your help with that, because I've had people that have gotten upset at me, and I will never get up and denigrate somebody that is of that conviction. But I will tell, again, I want to make it clear, I will tell them the truth. Listen, the reality of it is that if God created the earth and didn't have Adam and Eve and say, go be fruitful and multiply, civilization would have stopped in the garden. Hello. Do I need to elaborate on that anymore? Amen. I'm so thankful for what he did do. He said, go be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Matthew 19:4 says, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Families are so important to us and to our society, and we need to really guard them. And I want to encourage every mom and dad, every mother and father, guard your family. Sow seeds into your family. And I love this scripture. Because families are the key to healthy community, healthy society, healthy culture. It's not enough for us just to have healthy families in the church. Well, we don't have to be mean to other people to get the point across, but we need to communicate and convey what the truth of the Word of God is. So in Psalm 68:5, he gives this beautiful communication of who and what God is. He says in verse 5, he says, he is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free, and he gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. And the Bible shows us the nature of God here and how he assesses families. He says he's a father to the fatherless. I know what that is like. I remember when I lost my dad, and for years until I was up in almost my early 30s, I was looking for this father figure to come and take the place of the dad that I lost out of my life. Really, that I never had. My dad was a raging, mean alcoholic, and he was abusive. And he went into a mental institution when I was 11 and died when I was 13. And there was an emptiness, a void in my life, because I didn't have that father figure. And I'd look to this one, I'd look to that one, and I'd get disappointed when none of them would meet up to the father that I'd hoped that I could have. Until one day I read this scripture, and the Bible says that God would be a father to me. The father to a fatherless. And as I begin to read into that a little bit, I thought, man, I am really blessed. Even though I'm fatherless in the natural, God in heaven, the Father of light, says, I will be your father. That means everything that he has, now I'm an heir, and I'm a joint heir with that. I got a good deal out of the pain that I went through. The Bible says he'll be a father to you if you're fatherless today. He won't leave you alone. He'll come with you and he'll lift you up and he'll encourage you. The Bible says he's a defender to the widows. He'll stand with you. He'll defend you. He'll make sure no one takes advantage of you. The Bible says in the Message translation, he is a champion to the widow. Oh, I'm thankful for that. And then the scripture goes on to say that he looks after those who are lonely. Let me tell you today, if you're here today and you're lonely, God set you in this family right now. The church, the house of God, is a family for you to be connected with. You're sitting next to your brothers and your sisters. You just need to look at them. Say, hey, yo, what's up? Really, they're your brothers and your sisters today. And you're going to be spending eternity with them. I love what Chuck Swindoll said. Oh, to live above with saints we love, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, that's another story. But he sets people in the house of God. He causes those who are lonely to find a family. And let me just communicate this to everyone here. We don't go to church every week just to hear another message. We come to church to be the message to someone. We come to be the family to someone. We come to put our arm on somebody's shoulder, to shake somebody's hand, to look them in the eye, and to let them know, hey, you're not alone. You're with family today. Amen? And he helps people, the Bible says, that are trapped. The Bible says he sets the prisoner free and he gives them great joy. If you're here today and you feel trapped in your life, I want you to know that God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He gave his blood. He shed it. He died and he rose again on the third day. That you wouldn't have to stay trapped ever, but that you can have freedom and you can know the joy that only he, through a relationship with his son, can give you today. And then the scripture says it's his nature to rescue the helpless, no matter who they are, and bring them life. He wants to do that in you. But then the Bible ends up in that verse with this one line. It says, but he allows the rebellious to live in a sun-scorched land. Do you know that God can do just about anything except permeate a rebellious heart? To get through somebody that just puts their heels in the dirt and says, no, I'm not moving. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to submit my heart and my will to the Lord. And it drives humanity into isolation. And it drives people into a dry and into a hard place. A rebellious heart does not accept the things of God and will not allow the Lord to bring the joy, the hope, and the peace that he desires to bring with them. Oh, I pray that if that's you today, you will make the decision to love him, to give him your life, to surrender your life to him, and to give him your all. You know, in the first service, when I came in this morning, as I was driving up this morning to the church, I felt the Lord just drop this in my heart. Don't get grumpy when you get old. Don't get miserable when you get, you know, sometimes, and I'm getting a little older, not that old. I didn't hear one amen on that. You guys are slow, but you're worth waiting on. Don't get miserable when you get old. Don't retire from the things of the Lord. What a tragedy it is that I see sometimes in people when they get old and they get bitter because life didn't go the way they hoped it would. And I pray that that doesn't happen to us. That when we get older, that we will embrace it. You know, I celebrate today with my family. My oldest grandson becomes a teenager today, 13 years old. Stand up, Gabriel. He even stands up with a little swag on him going, yeah, what's up? I don't want to get grumpy when I get old. When I came into the first service and I pointed my finger at him, he knew exactly what I wanted. He came over, gave me a big hug, kissed him, said, I love you, Gabriel. I love you too, Boppy. That's my name, Boppy, to all my grandkids. He coined that phrase. He's the name caller of the clan. I don't want to get miserable when I get older. I want to get kinder, sweeter, gentler. More inviting, more giving, more serving. If you're older and you're retired, you should give more than you ever gave. You should serve more. Don't sit on the sidelines and say, well, that's for the younger crowd now. I'll just sit back and watch them. No. Get off your backside. Get in the game and serve and give. When these young kids get up and they're going to Nepal, don't sit back and say, well, I never did that. Sending the kids away, giving them money. How come somebody doesn't give me money? Nobody gave me money. Nobody handed it to me. Nobody handed it to them either. But we're going to hand them some before they go, because today is the last day of the month. We take a missions offering on Sunday. Come on. So we're not going to get miserable when we get older. We're going to get kinder, gentler. You get around the young kids, put your arm around them, shove a buck in their pocket or $2, $5. What's that for? Just because I love you. They'll never forget that as long as they live. Never. Be kind. Be gentle. Don't let a rebellious heart drive you into isolation. Well, it's just the way I am. That's a cop-out. And because I'm getting older and I heard older people say that, you're just lying. It's not the way you are. It's the way you choose to be. Choose to be kind, gentle, sweet, giving, loving, compassionate, caring. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Don't let life's troubles harden you. Let them soften you. I'll get cranky sometimes. I get cranky around my wife. She'll, what's up? Why are you at? I don't even have to say nothing. She, honey, what's going on? Nothing. Nothing. And she's old enough now, and I am too, where she just goes right in there with the hot iron and gets right in there. I'm going to find out what that is. Not going to let me out of it. I love her for that too. Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide you always. Look at this. He'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. But you got to be open to it. Quit adhering to what everybody says that you should do or shouldn't have done. Great families are not accidental. They're on purpose. A fruitful life is not accidental. It comes with the right ingredients. So the Bible says, whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. That, I'm going to close on these 4 points. You need to start sowing some things into your home, into your family, into your own life that will change the person that you are and what you and become what God has created and called you to be. And it doesn't matter how young or how old you are. Sow today. We sow in our thoughts, because every thought is a seed. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever a man thinks in his heart. Somebody will say something and articulate something and say, well, that just slipped out. No, it's inside of you. It's what's in you that comes out. And if you're going to overcome, and if you're going to have a blessed home and a blessed family, you've got to get your thoughts in line with what God has to say. Philippians 4:8 says, Paul says, brothers, finally, sisters, whatever is true, noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's any excellence or any praiseworthy, think, focus on these things. You can focus on everything else, but if you'll focus on the things of God, if you'll focus on these things, he'll clean your heart up. Somebody said, well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've been exposed to. I can't think any different. You can when you come to Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. You have the ability and the capability in your life to begin to think different and to begin to invite these different thoughts into your life and get rid of the old things that want to hinder and hurt you. 2 Corinthians 10:5, cast down all imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought under the obedience of Christ. If a negative thought comes your way, you need to clam it. You need to stop it. No, you shouldn't lay there and entertain it. You should move on from that and bring it under the obedience of Christ. And begin to put your mind and focus your thought pattern on things that will sow healthy and strong seeds into your future. We sow with our words. Because if we think about it long enough, as I said, you're going to begin to say it. And words are powerful. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. I heard 30 years ago somebody say, what words you speak, you can never take back. Did you know that? They're always going. They're always. If you don't believe me, tell your wife something 20 years later, she'll remember it verbatim. All the men? Man, yeah, you're real quiet on that one. But the Bible says, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life, They're in the power of the tongue and will eat the fruit of them. And I spoke on a series a few weeks ago about speaking life. You got to sow seeds with the words that you say. And if you've said negative words, if you've articulated wrong words, the one great thing about God is that he'll go before you. And although those words will still be there, God will take the punch out of them. If you've been saying negative words in your home or in your family, stop it today. Speak words of life. Speak words of hope. Speak words of destiny. Speak words of dreaming about the future and the destiny that God has. Speak them over your children, over your grandchildren. Don't give up when your kids are raised and say, well, my kids are raised. That's good enough. Now, honey and I can just do what we want. Absolutely not. You just engaged in a whole nother level of communicating words and life to your children and to your children's children. I go up to my grandkids. I says, how much does your boppy love you? A lot. My grandson Ryan says, a gazillion, billion, trillion, mega million, billion times he loves me. And I go up to Jamin. Jamin, if the world's this big, how much does boppy love you? She goes, this much, Bobby. Sow the right words. They'll have an impact on your future. Sow with your spirit. I love this. Luke 9:55. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? They were a little irritated that day, like Elijah did, but he turned around and he rebuked them. And he said, you don't know the spirit you're of. And sometimes people say things and they articulate things out of their mouth and they don't even know where it's coming from. Come on, guard your spirit. Guard your heart. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules a spirit than he who can take a city. Get your spirit and your attitude under control. Quit letting it float in any direction. If you're going to have a great family, you're going to sow that seed in your life. And then you have to sow with your actions. James 1:22, be doers of the word. Don't just be a hearer only and deceive yourself. You got to put some things into actions, mom and dad, sons and daughters. Look for opportunities to be a blessing in your home. Look for opportunities to go over the top. Look for an opportunity when you hear something. How can you be a blessing? I've told this story before. My wife, years ago, she wanted a convertible car. And I just said, you know, it's just not practical. I don't know how to go about that. Didn't know anything. And she'd always wanted this convertible. And my boys, both of them in the car business. And years later, my son, Ryan, called me. He said, Dad, I got a convertible. It's an older one. But boy, it's perfect. It's got low mileage on it. There's no rust on it. It's never been in a winter. Told me what it was doable. I said, I'll take it. And he brought it out to my house. It was in the winter. I never told my wife about it. But for years, she said, I just love a convertible, honey. My mother-in-law always wanted a Cadillac. My father-in-law could have bought her any car she wanted. He wouldn't buy her that. He said, I'm not going to drive that Cadillac. I don't want anybody to see. My mother-in-law at 46 drove herself to Strong Memorial Hospital. They operated on her. She died that day. On the operating table. You know what my father-in-law said to me? You know what the first thing he said when I saw him? He said, I should have bought her that Cadillac. I never forgot those words. My wife said, I'd love that. Love a convertible. Well, my son brings that car out. We put it in the barn, cover it up. It's May. It's the first nice day. We both have a day off. I go up there. I'm so excited. I got that car. I shine that baby up. I put the top down on that sucker. It's red with a gray leather interior. I drive it down the house. I walk in. I go, well, honey, you ready? She goes, yeah, let's go. She comes walking out. She goes, oh, the boys let you use one of their cars, did they? No. I said, no, honey, it's your car. Oh, yeah, okay, honey. She walks around and she goes, wow, the boys did nice. I go, honey, it's your car. Yeah, okay, honey. And she goes around. I open up the door. She sits in the car, get our seatbelts on. I go, what do you think of your car? Yeah, okay, honey. She opens up the glove box. She pulls out the paper, and she sees Karen McDowell. She goes, oh, it is my car. You got me a convertible, honey. You be a doer, not just a talker about it. You say, well, I can't buy my wife a convertible. You could buy her a flower today. You could take her and get her an ice cream cone. You could bless her. You could do something for your children. You could make up for something that you never were able to do, maybe. You could, as a grandma or a grandpa, you could do something extraordinary. Make a difference in their lives. I want you to bow your head with me. I'm going to close just a moment. I believe God wants to do something great. I sense in my heart that some are here. You've been living in a sun-scorched land. You've been living just, there's no joy. You don't have the peace in your home, in your house. And you're upset at others. And God says, today, I've brought you to a moment. I brought you to this place. Right here, right now. He said, I want to do something great in your life. I want to help you. I want to deliver you out of that today. He's bigger than what you're at right now. Maybe you're in a situation you don't even know how you got there. You turn around, you looked the years. You say, how in the world did I end up here? But the Bible says his mercies are new every morning, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently will seek him. He's looking for you to seek him today. He's looking for you to just surrender your heart to him. If you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that before you leave today. You need to make that commitment. Say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior today. You can do that right where you're at right now. You don't have to move. He'll come in. The Bible says that when you ask him that, you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, God raised him from the dead, you'd be saved. Maybe you're here, you're saved today, and you're just miserable. You don't want to admit it, but truth is truth. He wants to give you joy. He wants to turn that around in your life. And I'm going to pray for you today, too. When we close here today, I'm going to have some people at the front, at the altar, that will pray with you and for you. And we'll come alongside to be that part of that family. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be isolated. He'll help you today. My goodness, he will help you. I sense his power here. So beautiful. I don't want anybody moving. I don't want anybody looking around. I don't want an usher. Nobody in the sound booth. I don't want no one looking around right now. I don't want any movement. This is the moment of the Holy Spirit is doing his great work. If you need Christ, if you're living in that dry, you just feel isolated, you feel separated, I just want to pray for you right where you're at this morning. Just, I want you to put up your hands and say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me this morning. Amen. Put your hand up. Hands are going up. God bless you. Need Christ. You dry place. He wants to help you today. Thank you, God. I want everybody to pray this out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of every sin that I've ever committed, and even the ones that I may still. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. Today I'll begin to live for you, serve you, and give you my all. Today I choose to come out of an isolated place and to surrender my all to you. I love you, Lord Jesus. I trust you with my life. I give it all to you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Isn't he good today? Come on. Isn't God good today? Amen. This morning, again, as I said earlier, this is the last day of the month. We take a missions offering at the end of every month. Today's missions offering, half of it is going to go to Habitat for Humanity, We're building houses in this area. I know you're familiar with that. They rehab houses, and they sent a letter as I was praying this week. God, what do you want us to do? We received the letter that they were asking for $500. I know we can do that this morning, and also I'd love to send another $1,000 to Nepal with the girls as well. So half of it to Habitat for Humanity. The other part of it is going to go to Nepal. Ushers, come on down. You can make a check right to the city church. We don't keep none of it. All this, 100% of this is going to go to those two areas. If you have not, or if you have downloaded the PushPay app, there's a place on there you can use for missions on that. You can give on that. If you didn't come prepared, take the offering envelope with you and send it. We won't send the checks, although the girls are leaving Tuesday, so we need to know by tomorrow. But let's sow into that today. And then I'm going to have, after we do that, we're going to have some of the prayer folk come down front. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give to the work of the kingdom of our God. We honor you. We trust you. We give you all the praise for what you're going to do right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Go ahead, folks. Thank you as you give this morning. Hasn't it been great just to be in God's house together today? Yeah.